I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high.
How many is ready to break the ground? Let me ask again. How many is ready to break the ground in your life? Amen? We know the breaking ground is the symbolic of expanding, new possession, expanding, growth happening. How many know that we should be growing? That if we should not be at the same place we were last year, but we should be able to look back as a Christian and say, man, I've grown this past year. And we're all about that. We want you to grow because either you're growing or if you're not growing, what are you doing? You're dying, right? It's a very short span where you're idle. I mean, you're not idle for very long. Either you're growing or you're declining. Either you're growing or you're dying. And so we should be the prayer of every Christian that we want to grow and expand a new ground that everything has for us. We've been talking about learning to walk in a season of rest, and that expanding new ground and growing is learning to walk in God's rest. Walk in his favor. We talked about he is the God of the now, that he is the God who is the great I am. He's the God of the now. Today we want to talk about and ask this question. Simply it's this: do you use your authority? Do you use your authority? How many like authority? Raise your hand. If you love having authority, raise your hand. Now turn to your neighbor and say, quit your lying. You didn't raise your hand. I know. All you husbands, look at your wife saying, I know you love authority. How many of every one of us really, we like authority, whether we want to admit it or not. We all like authority. Can you remember the first time your parents ever left you in charge of your siblings? You love their authority, don't you? I was the youngest, and so I didn't have that privilege. But I know that as I have five children now, that my children love it when I give them authority, especially my youngest, my 10-year-olds or twins. If I tell them and say, well, you go upstairs and tell your older brothers, if they are not out of that bed in 5 minutes with their clothes on, hair fixed, and their toothbrush is on their mouth and brushing their teeth and down these stairs ready to go to school, and I'm going to come up there and I'm going to yank them out of bed. And it won't be nice. That they better get up on their own right now. And you can see their eyes just light up. And they walk up the stairs like, boom, 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 boom. And they walk down the hallway with their head held high. And they slam open that door. And they say, Dad said, you better get up. And they go on to tell the story. And, of course, they love having that authority. Now, if I sent them up there to do it on their own without giving them my authority, what would happen? They would, the kids would be like, get out of my room. They'd throw something at them, get out of here, shut the door. But they know if Dad said they better get up, they better get up, because they don't want Dad to get up and come in there. And so there's something about giving authority that we all like having authority. But isn't it tragic that many of us, we've been given authority here as Christians, but we don't use it. We don't use the God-given authority that he's given to you and I. And there's got to come a time in your life, if you want to break new ground in your life, that you're going to have to realize, you know what? I've got to stand up for my spiritual ground and say, Satan, back off, that God has given me authority in my life, in my family, in my marriage, in my children, that I can walk in a supernatural, God-given authority that he has always intended for me to walk in, but we must step up and realize it and walk in it. Sometimes we deal with difficult people, don't we? We do. Look what Ephesians 6:10 says about this. Let's read our text, Ephesians 6:10. And our final word, it says, be strong in the Lord. It didn't say be strong in yourself, did it? Be strong in yourself. Be strong in who? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies. Do you realize that the devil has strategies for your life? Turn to your neighbor and say, the devil has strategies for your life. Just as God has a purpose, the devil has a strategy as well, that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are, look what it says, we don't fight against flesh and blood of the enemies. He's saying we're not fighting against people, but otherwise we fight against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against what? Evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to what? Resist the enemy in the same time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Today, we realize that God is giving us a battle to fight, and we can stand firm in Him and stand strong in Him. Sometimes we have to deal with difficult people. We have difficult circumstances. But sometimes, let me tell you this, sometimes our problem are not people or difficult people, that many times our problems are evil spirits that are trying to attack us. Now, let me tell you this right now, that I don't believe the devil's hiding behind every bush, okay? He's hiding behind every little creak in the door we hear. Oh, there's the devil. I knew he was in this house. I never have like this house. And I'm not here to say the devil's hiding behind every door, waiting, you know, we blame everything on the devil. That's not what I'm talking about here. But what I'm saying is this, that Scripture is very clear that if we're a Christian today, that we're not going to battle against flesh and blood. There's some things that there are evil spirits that Satan has a strategy to take down your life. Satan has a strategy to end your marriage. Satan has a strategy for you to lose your children. Satan has a strategy for you to go broke. Satan has a strategy to destroy your life. And we must realize that sometimes we're facing an evil spirit. We're just not facing difficult people. And in that, we got to stand firm and be ready to stand up for what God has given us the spiritual authority to do. I made a statement a while back. I want to make it again today. That we must choose to be on God's side. We got to stop asking God to join our side, and we must get on His side. Thank you. Amen. Amen. That clan clap right there. That's good. We can't say that enough. Somewhere in America, we've lost it, and we keep asking God to join our side. And we think our political party's got it, and we think we got this, and we got that, and we're asking, God, come get on our side. And we've lost the fact that God doesn't get on our side. We're called to get on His side. And that's where the blessing comes. That's where the power comes. That's where the spiritual authority comes, is when we line ourselves up with God's side. Paul said, be strong where? In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. So if you're going to do that, let me give you three things you can't do. First of all, there are no free agents. You got to realize there are no free agents. We all belong to one team or the other. There's no free agents. Joshua 5:13. Look what it says. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Remember, the children of Israel getting ready to attack the city of Jericho, the big walls that came tumbling down. That he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposing him, opposite of him, with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went out to him and said to him, are you for us or are you against us? You for us or for your adversaries? So he said, no. I love that answer. Don't you love when God answers the question in the way you didn't expect? No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, and we believe the scripture to believe this was a Jesus coming in a Old Testament form, that Jesus showed up as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell upon his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord want with his servant? It is a great multiple choice here that Joshua comes up and he says, hey, basically this, are you for the Chiefs or are you for the Raiders? It's one or the other. You got to draw the line. Which team are you on? Are you for them or are you for us? You on their side or are you on our side? And I love that God answers this question exactly how He wanted. No. No. Why is it that God refuses to answer His question? Because I believe today that God refuses to acknowledge that we have a side. He doesn't acknowledge anybody else's side but His. The quicker we learn this, the quicker we can learn the walk and authority God has given us, that we don't have a side. I'm here to break your bubble today to tell you, I don't have a side, you don't have a side, Your mama don't have a side. Your grandma don't have a side. Your boss don't have a side. Only God has a side. And God said, choose it. This day, who are you going to serve? There's no free agents. So is God on America's side? That's the question today. Is God on America's side? Is God on the side of Russia? Is God on the side of Canada? Is God on the side of Israel? That's his people. Is God on their side? And the answer is no. God's not on their side. The question is this, will we be on his side? The reason why America rose to be a great nation is not because God chose to be on our side. It was because we chose to be on his side. We chose as the founding fathers, even though there were some people on there who were reprobates, even though some of our founding fathers needed some great things to work through that were really wrong. There was one thing that we know, that America was founded on one nation under God. America was founded on a place that was not afraid to pray and ask for God's guidance. They were not afraid to pray in the public places. They were not afraid to pray in schools and in the courthouse. They were not afraid to have the Ten Commandments posted in the courthouses, in the schoolhouses. They were not afraid to have the Bible as a part of their textbooks. They were not afraid to say Merry Christmas. And the sooner we realize that and quit trying to say, God, get on our side, and get back to saying, God, we're on your side. God, we're getting back to your side. So I tell you this, as long as America gets on God's side, we're going to prosper. And once we pull away from God's side, we're going to see America struggling. And so there's got to be a people who will still rise up and say, God, I'm on your side. God, I'm on your side. Young people, we got to say, God, I'm on your side. Moms and dads, we got to say, God, I'm on your side. Quit asking God to join our side and get on his side. There are no free agents. You're on one side or the other. Jesus said, when you pray, we pray this way. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know how they close that Lord's Prayer out? He said, we close out the Lord's Prayer by saying, for yours is the kingdom. You know why we close out the Lord's Prayer that way? Because I got news for you today. You don't have a kingdom. I don't have a kingdom. Only God's got a kingdom. And so I say, God, it is your kingdom. It is your power. It is your glory. It's not my kingdom, God. You come and join my kingdom. But God, I join your kingdom. Your will be done. There's something God was trying to teach us in realizing our authority comes through submission of him. There are no free agents. Number two, we got to realize there's no neutral reality. You're not neutral. You may think you're neutral today, but you're not neutral. Well, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm ready to choose to be fully on God's side yet. But I'm not a bad person. I'm not choosing to be on Satan's side either. I'm not choosing to be on the side of evil. I just don't know if I'm ready to choose to be on God's side and everything that entails. Well, let me tell you today, there's no neutral reality. Because by not choosing, you've already chosen. This ain't me talking. This is what the Word of God says. Look what Matthew 12:30 says. Matthew 12:30 says, anyone who isn't with me, it's what Jesus said. If you're not with me, what are you? You oppose me. Anyone who isn't working with me is what? Working against me. Revelation 3:15. I know all the things you do, says God, that you are either what? You're not either hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are lukewarm, like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, he says, I will spit you out of my mouth. So you can say, I'm not for evil. But if you haven't chosen to be on the side of God, you've already chosen your side. Either you're for him or you're against him. Well, I didn't mean to be against him, but well, you are. Either you're for him or you're against him. And I'm not here today to put anybody down. I'm just here to say, we got to quit trying to live this gray life. We got to quit trying to live this neutral life and saying, Christianity is okay, but I'm just not really sure if I'm ready to sell out and say I'm fully on God's team. You've already sold out. Which way are you going to sell out? We need a people who are going to rise up and say, God, I am on your side no matter what. And the third thing you got to realize, there's no duality. You can't play both sides of the fence. You can't play both sides. I've tried it before. It doesn't work. Anyone here can testify that testimony. You try to play both sides of the fence, it doesn't work, does it? Well, I love God, but I still love doing what I do, Pastor. I still love the things I used to do, but what I'm here to tell you, there's no duality. You can't play both sides. John 10:10 says it like this. A thief does not come to what? Except to steal, to kill, destroy. This is Satan's plan for your life. You want to know what Satan's plan? What his strategy is? It's right here, very clear. Young people, this is what Satan wants to do in your life. Moms, dads, it's what he wants to do in our life. He comes to what? To steal from you, to kill for you, and destroy your life. But Jesus said to just the opposite. I've come that they may have life, and they may have it more what? Abundantly, to the fullest. So just as God has a plan and a purpose for your life, just as God has a destiny for life, Satan has a destiny as well that he is wanting to steal from you, to kill from you, and destroy your life. And so at some point, though, you're going to have to stand up and say, enough is enough. I know your plans, but God's got a plan to prosper me. God has got a plan to prosper me, and I've got to choose which side I'm going to be on. Look what Colossians 2:13 says. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive. God made you alive. God made you alive. Satan didn't make you alive. He kills you, destroys you, steals from you. But God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of our sins. All. Everybody say all. All of our sins. I love this. This gets better. He canceled the record of the charges against us. We went up to the judge, and they said, what is the evidence? And the prosecuting attorney says, I can't find any. Do you have, judge? It's disappeared. It's been canceled out. He said, they took it away by nailing it. How? By nailing it to the cross. In this way, look what it says, that Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. We just talked about that we wrestle against what? The evil spirits and the rules of this world. It says that Jesus, through the cross, is what? Has disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by the victory over them on the cross. So what this means is this, that when Jesus went to the cross and he came up from the death of hell, the grave, that he came up and he went out to every evil spirit and he publicly shamed them. He publicly said, you have no hold on my people no more. You have no more keys anymore. You have no more authority anymore in our life. It says that he publicly shamed them. I love that my God would take every evil spirit that is working to kill, steal, and destroy from me and my family, and he took them and publicly humiliated them, disgraced them, and said, no more. No more will you have authority in their life. This is the power that he's given to you and I on the cross. In Matthew's gospel, he told Peter, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You've got to realize that you've been given spiritual authority. You've been given a spiritual authority. So why is Satan stealing from you right now? Why are you allowing Satan to steal from your family? Why are you allowing him to steal from your marriage? Why are you allowing him to steal your joy? Why are we allowing him to steal our children? Why are you allowing him to steal from your finances? Why do you allow him to steal from our health? You know why? Because we let him. Because we let him. You see, there comes a time you got to be like I was when I was 6 years old. When I was 6 years old, a couple houses down, there was two brothers that lived in the house. One was my age and the other brother was a couple years older. And every time I passed by that house, those guys would come out and jump me. I mean, one brother would hold me down while the other brother beat the tire out of me. I'm talking about bloodying my nose, bloodying my lips, pulling my hair. I mean, anything they could hold me, but the other ones, poof, 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 poof. And I'm like, every time I come home crying, I was about 6 years old. Any moms out there feel sorry for me? Come on. I need a mom right now. Doesn't feel sorry for me. And I go home, and I'm like, my mom would be doctoring me up. Oh, those boys make me so mad. And I remember one day coming home crying so hard, these guys had jumped me and beat the tar out of me. And I come in to eat supper. I sit down at the table and I'm going. My dad looked at me and said, son, he said, son, when are you going to get tired of putting up with that? He goes, I know you're scared. He goes, but I just tell you, one of these days, you're going to get tired of getting beaten up, and you're going to do whatever it takes. You're going to grab whatever you can find, and you're going to lay into those boys, and they won't mess with you again. It was as my dad had just given me permission to break the law. This is a true story. I didn't finish my dinner. I got up and pushed my plate up, and I said, I'll be right back. My voice just dropped right away. Puberty started at 6 years old for me right then. I just felt it. Testosterone. I think I sprouted the chest hair. I mean, it was right there. And I walked out the side door, and we had an old fence there, wooden fence, and some boards had fallen off, and I reached down and grabbed one of those boards off that wooden fence. And I'm carrying on my shoulder, like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, carrying this board on my shoulder, and I go down to the yard, and they're playing. They never saw it coming. I took those boards and went, bam, 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 and I started kicking them. I pulled their hair. I hit them in the face. I butted their nose. I had to hit them with that board. Those boys were crying and screaming, and I beat the living daylights out of them as hard as I could, and it felt good. I'm not here to promote violence now. Don't get me wrong. I got to say that. Anyway, I'm here to tell you this. Those guys never mess with me after that point. They said, that boy's crazy, man. He'll do whatever. They never mess with me again. You know why? Because I finally had enough. And see, in your life, you're going to spiritually get to a place where if you're tired of Satan stealing from you, you're tired of Satan pushing your family around, you're tired of Satan messing with you, that you stand up to Satan and say, Satan, I've had enough. In the name of Jesus Christ, I have been given authority over you, and you must leave. The authority's been given to us, but you're going to stand up and decide to use it. Wimps need not apply. But God has given a spiritual authority that you and I can walk in. So how do I do that? Let me give you three things real fast, how to walk in God's authority. Number one, submit to God's authority. If you want to walk in God's authority, you submit to his authority. James 4:6 says, but he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. He gives us the grace to stand up against evil desires. That scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he what? Gives favor to those who humble themselves before him. So humble yourselves before God. Look what I say. Here's the key. We humble ourselves before God under his authority. Then what do? We resist the devil. And what must he do? Come on, say it. He must what? The devil must flee from who? From you. From me. We must realize the devil must flee from me when I humble myself under God's authority and I resist him. He must flee from me. Come close to God, and he will not come close to you. Wash your hands, and sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. You want to walk in God's authority? Just submit to God's authority. Number two, receive God's grace. Receive God's grace. You got to have a full understanding that God has forgiven you. Because I'm going to tell you that Satan fights dirty. He's dirty. He's a dirty fighter. And he's going to bring up everything you've ever done in your life that's wrong. He's going to bring up every mistake you've ever made and throw it in your face. He's going to bring up every failure you've ever had and throw it in your face constantly. Scripture was very clear about it in Revelation 12:10. It says, then I heard a loud voice saying to heavens, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God, of our God, and the power of his Christ have come for what? The accuser of our brethren, of Satan. Who, what's he do? What's Satan do? He accused them, talking about us, before God, how often? Day and night. Night and day. Day and night. Constantly, Satan was accusing you and I. But you know what? He has been cast down. And they overcame him by what? the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. So you got to realize, when Satan tells you about your past, what do you do to him? Remind him of his future. That's all you got to do, because all he's got is your past. All he's got is your past. And so as he brings up your past, he's the accuser, saying, you remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? Remember you did this and did that? Every day he's going to do it. But you have been given spiritual authority to stand up, to resist him, and to overcome by the power of your testimony. Satan, thank you for reminding me what I used to be. But God, I thank you that I am under grace now. I am forgiven. And Satan, I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. But Satan, I remember your future, and it's already damned to hell. And Satan, right now, you have no authority in my life. All you can do is bring up my past, and it's not going to be a hold on me any longer. So to walk in that authority, you got to have a grip of grace that God has forgiven you. He's forgiven me. Our sins are forgiven. It's so much bigger than what we know. I can't wait to share more about grace. This summer, we're going to do a whole series on grace again, getting back and realizing and having a grip of grace in our life. Number three, last thing, we got to put God's power into work in our life. Simply put, you got to put God's power to work in your life. John 16:23. Look what it says here. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is Jesus talking. I say to you, whatever, say whatever, whatever you ask the Father in what? In my name, talking about Jesus, he said, whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, my name, he will give you. We've been given this authority as Christians, the power of saying in Jesus' name. Just as my kids walk up the stairs and say, Dad said, you better get to moving, bucko. You and I have the authority to say, Satan, Dad says, Jesus says, you better get to moving because you're not welcome here any longer. Any of you here, you've heard me tell the testimony of a time in my life when I felt attack upon my family, upon my home, and I had to open up my door. Went to my back door, opened it up, and I walked through my house and said, Satan, you will not have a hold in my house any longer. Satan, you will not grip my house with fear. Satan, you will not bring on my wife what you're trying to bring on. Satan, you will not do to my family what you're trying to do. And I began to walk around, and I remember my spirit telling him, he must leave in the name of Jesus. He must leave my home. And I can tell you right now, I felt by the power of God like I never felt anything in my life. I felt that spirits leave my home, and they've never returned since. Why? Because I've been given spiritual authority. Oh, you're a pastor. No, I'm a Christian. I wasn't even a pastor then when I'm telling you that story. You and I have the same power. We serve the same God. You have the same authority I do. All you got to do is step and say, God, I'm using in the power of Jesus' name. Satan, you must leave me alone. You feel yourself suffering with addiction? I dare you to get up and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind you right now. You will not have hold in my life. I bind the power of addiction in my life. I bind the power of addiction in my home. You're having trouble with your children, I guarantee you, get up, begin to pray over your children, pray over your home. Open up the door, say, Satan, you will not steal my children. You will not steal from my children, my family. Having trouble in your marriage, I guarantee you, go home and open up your back door. Say, Satan, get out of here in the name of Jesus. You will not destroy my marriage. You will not destroy my life. You've got the authority, I've got the authority. But the question is, are we going to step up and use it? What a shame that we've been given this authority and we stay idly by and let Satan push us around. Push us around. You want to take new ground? Oh, I don't think so. And he's going to box us in and we're like, oh, I wanted to take new ground, but I guess I got to retreat back here because, ooh, you're a big bad boogeyman. And, oh, you're going to hurt me. No, I say, Satan, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you and you must flee from me, says the word of God. I wish I had some fathers that would stand with me today and say, I'm going to take spiritual charge of my home. I'm going to walk in spiritual authority in my home. I wish I had some moms today that would stand with me and say, I'm going to pray over my home and my children. I wish I had some young people today that would stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to speak over my generation. Spiritual authority God has given me. Let me tell you, as your pastor, there's nothing I hate more than seeing Satan push you around. But you're going to stand up for yourself. I'm here today to tell you, you're going to stand up for yourself. It's not, you don't call a pastor, come over and have the pastor pray for me. No, you have the same spiritual authority, and it's more and more powerful when you stand up for yourself and say, I'm taking spiritual authority in my home, in my life, in my marriage. Today, we're going to walk in spiritual authority. Are you ready to do that today? If you're ready to walk in the spiritual authority God's giving you, I invite you to join me here at the front today. If you say, Pastor, I'm ready to walk in my spiritual authority. I don't want to just leave it sitting on the side. I don't want to leave it for somebody else. Come on, I wish I had some dads who say, I'm not going to leave it to my wife to walk in spiritual authority. Amen. Amen. Let me say again, I wish I had some dads that would join me today and say, man, I'm not going to leave it to my wife to walk in spiritual authority. But I'm going to learn to walk in spiritual authority in my home. Scoot on in, guys. Make room for those coming into the front. Thank you, guys, for scooting in. You know what I would do to save my family? Whatever it takes. It was not in my comfort zone to get up and open that back door and begin to pray over my home. I didn't like praying out loud. I can tell you very honestly, can I tell you that? I'd never prayed loud in my home before that moment in my life. I had a good godly father who prayed with us, but I'd never seen that done before. But I had just had enough, Chad. I had just had enough. I had just had enough, Kent. And I was like, I'm not taking it anymore. And today, I believe God is raising up some people who are right there with me. That this year, God's wanting you to break new ground. God's wanting to do something great in your family. And he's not going to like it. Listen, Satan's not going to like it because it goes against his strategy. So you got to be ready to fight. Dads, I need you to fight with me. Moms, I need you to stand with me. If you're single today, you stand up, begin to say, God, I am going to follow after you. We're going to sing this song. We sung it earlier. And I love this song about the great I am because it says, God, you have all power. God, every evil spirit must fall at your name. We're going to sing it, declare it together. And I want you to sense the spiritual authority that you're walking in today as we declare it in the spirit.
Ooh, I want to be close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voice and angels above singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy God. Great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. I want to be near to your heart. Loving the world and hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as well. Hallelujah, holy, holy God Almighty, the great I am. Who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. Lord, Lord. mountains shake before him. The demons run and flee. At the mention of the name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am. The great.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, give God praise. Tom Harlan, come here. Pastor Tom, come here. Debbie, come up with him right now. As he was out there, the Holy Spirit says that you are getting ready to walk in a new authority that you've never walked in your life. There's a new spiritual authority, a covering about to come on you. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, and you've already begun to say yes to that. But I want you to confirm it in front of this body that there's a new thing getting ready to happen in your life. There's a new spiritual authority going to come upon you and your marriage. That God's going to give you a new authority to walk in. Get ready, because they're not going to stay the same. Stretch your hands this way. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are giving fresh anointing, God. Fresh authority, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, God, that you are giving Tom, Lord, a spirit of boldness like he's never experienced before. Father, right now, there's a new spirit of authority, spiritual authority, God, he is getting ready to walk in. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you are giving him spiritual authority. Now, I want you to raise your hands all across this building. Tom, I want you to pray for us right now. The Holy Spirit wants you to pray for us. I'm losing my voice. The Holy Spirit wants you to pray for us right now.
Oh, Father, we love you so much, God. We just love you. We thank you that you have redeemed us, Lord, that you have called us, Lord God. We thank you that we are a holy generation, Lord God. We're a royal priesthood. We thank you, Father, that you are a loving God, that you are a loving Father. Lord God, that you have good plans for us, Lord God. You know the plans that you have for us, Father, and they are good. They are mighty. Father, I'm thankful that we don't have to be afraid of a God that doesn't want to be known. Oh, God, you want to be known. You want to be our Father. Lord, you want us to come and sit in your lap and know you and be known by you, Father. You want us to make this region aware of your presence. We want to make your name famous in this area, Lord God. We want you to be glorified. We want you to be magnified. We want you to be lifted up. Oh, God, we want to become small so that you can become great. Oh, Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that your spirit would fall on this place, God. Right now in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, just fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. Fill us with vision for your kingdom. Fill us with vision for you, God. I pray that we would have a heart for the kingdom of God. I pray that where we have been afraid, where we have been held in bondage, where we've been afraid of our past, where there has been lies that have been repeated to us, in the name of Jesus, those are broken right now by the authority, by the power, by the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we just thank you for the freedom that you give us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we want to be your witness. In this generation, in my generation, in the next generation, God, we want to be your witness. We want people to know you, Lord. We want people to love you. We don't want to be religious, God. We want to walk in a relationship with you. Oh, Lord, we lift up your name. You're worthy of praise, God. We praise your name, oh, God. You're worthy of praise, oh, God. We exalt you. We shout with the angels of heaven. You are worthy. There is no other name on this earth, above or below, that is higher than the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift you up. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Praise you, God.
One more time, raise your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are giving us spiritual authority. God, I thank you, God, that you are giving us spiritual authority. So, Father, right now, I call upon every husband. I call upon every father. I call upon every mother. I call upon every student. I call upon every person in this house today, God, that you are allowing them to raise up, Lord, to be spiritual authority people. That, God, we will raise up, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. God, I release in them, God, boldness. I release in them authority. I release in them spiritual boldness and authority. God, we will fight for what's ours. We will fight for what you've given us. And, Father, we give you praise. And we say yes. We say yes. And we say yes. Come on, put your hands together, amen.
Pastor Mel, if we can sing this one more time. I'm sorry, I'm feeling in my spirit right now that everybody needs to join hands with the person right next to you, because we are the body of Christ. We are the great I am. The great I am is in every single one of us right now. You have that authority because the great I am is in you. So let's join hands as the body of Christ. And if we could just sing that one more time, we are the great I am. We have that authority. Take it and let's go.
The mountains shake before him. The demons run and flee. At the mention of the name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell for any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great
praise this morning. Shout out to the Lord. Shout out to the Lord, all you people. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us all authority. Passed down to us from the Father. Father, I pray that no longer will we walk timid. God, I believe today is a new day. And many people will look back on this day as a day they decided to cross the line. And Father, I believe today, God, as they cross that line, they'll never go back to being the timid person spiritually they were. But God, they will walk not in anything other than the boldness of knowing that our Father has gone before us. And he has already humiliated the evil spirits. And he's given us authority through the power of his name. And Father, from now on, we will walk in the authority that's been given to us. God, we will be on your side and quit asking you to get on our side. And God, we will join hands with you and say, God, we are with you. We are for you. And God, we will serve you all the days of our life. and we give you praise, and we give you honor, and we say amen. Amen. Turn to somebody, give them a hug, give them a high five, and say, man, it was good to be with you today, powerful. God bless you.